Mark 1, 14 through 15. After John was in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent, believe the good news. While other people go to church every Sunday, Charles, a farmer, liked to sit in the village restaurant drinking wine. One day the priest said to him, "Charles, I'm afraid we shall not see each other in heaven." A worried Charles replied, "But Father, what on earth have you done?" We seem to be a little worried about who's going to make it and who's not going to make it. And I thought that we're going to talk about the kingdom of heaven and or the kingdom of God. Where is heaven? That will be part of it. And another part of it is the word near and repent. What do each of us think about the good news when we think about the good news of Jesus Christ? What do we think about? Or the kingdom of heaven? I think probably what we think about is what our theological viewpoint is, where our standing and what we believe and what we think. A lot has to do with what we think of where heaven is or the good news. What is the good news? Does anybody want to try to sum up what the good news of Jesus Christ is? Well, we all have been going to church for how many years? And Dan? That's the good news, we're going to die? just a simple question like that sometimes stuns us. And you know, we're so used to going and hearing, and you know, a lot of the stuff just goes through our heads, and we don't really formulate an opinion. And so where is heaven? Does anybody want to give an idea, like, where is heaven? Within?
Our souls or our hearts. I don't think it's a physical place.
You don't? I do. Maybe physical, not in the sense we think of. Mike?
I think heaven is like where like everyone can rejoice and like be together, like Shane and his family's together. That's heaven. Like there is no actual like physical heaven, except when you die, your spirits will gather together and have like little section they go and they can gather like family gather together. Heaven's where you have family and friends that gather together.
That's a good way of looking at it. I was always taught when you go to heaven, you praise God day and night. And I can't sing very well, and I think I'd get tired of waving my hands up and down and jumping up and down. I think I would get tired of that real quick. So I'll hear again. Go ahead.
And about good news, I think to a lot of people, the good news is that Jesus died. But for me personally, the good news is that Jesus lived. Yeah. And he came, and for me, he gave us an example of how we should live. And basically, it's love God and love one another. And he reduced all those, however many you said, 500 or whatever.
613, I think.
And reduced it to ones that are easy to remember but hard to do. I think that some people make it hard to love them. But Jesus, you know, for me, Jesus was good to the tax collector and the Samaritan and people that weren't well respected in the society of that day.
Right.
And we need to treat people that way too.
Just that alone, I think we'd get the world would be a lot better. Dan and Mike, okay, Dan, go ahead.
You're convinced me it's a different dimension.
Yeah, I think heaven's in another dimension. I'll get to that here in a little bit and try to use a biblical concept to help explain it. Go ahead, Dan, Mike.
Like people say, "I love you,"
Well, the Bible talks about different types of love. There's friendship love. There's a more deeper relationship with your companion or your spouse, and then there's a spiritual love.
You try to look after the people that God said you should love, everyone around you.
Right.
And there's different types of love, but you always treat people like when someone needs a hot home, I give people a home. Like when people need food, I give people food, because that's what in the Bible it says, when people are in need, you lend a hand.
You can express your love in a lot of different ways. Where is heaven? Again, that's what depends on where what we believe. Is it a place now or at the end of the age? What is the end of the age? What did Jesus mean by a lot of these comments and questions that he said? Like today, the kingdom has come near. Repent and believe. So what is the concept of the kingdom has come near? And what is the kingdom? Again, I think it's a matter of how you've been brought up in various different denominations, put a different angle towards it, a different swing towards it, a perspective. But I think we should quit looking through it through a theological lenses or denominational beliefs and look at it and really look down in the Bible and see what it really means. But that requires time and study. So I want to take the word repent first. So that seemed to be John's message, John the Baptist's message, as long as Jesus. Now, John was put in prison, and Jesus took over the ministry. And again, he said about repenting. All my life, when I was young, I heard about repenting. Repent, repent, and join the church. You got to repent and join the church. So it was a way of asking for, the way I thought when I was young, it was about asking for forgiveness of my sins, and I would go and become a member of the church. And my spiritual life would, I thought at the time, was pretty much done then. I had done everything I needed to do. I repented and I joined the church, and life was going to be happy. And I didn't have to do nothing more to do. But little did I know there was a lot more to do. So repent doesn't necessarily mean just to turn away from what you once did. If you don't have a change of heart, then what good is it? So I think repenting has more to do with what you're thinking, what's in your heart and in your mind. I have to be convinced in my heart and mind to change in order for me to change physically outside. I can't just change outside. I can't say, okay, I'm not going to say no more racist statements, but not really, but still be a racist in my heart. I mean, you're only changing the outside and not the inside. So I think repenting is changing the way you think. So Jesus is saying, repent from where you, change the way you once thought and now think this way. I think that's how you can look at it. Kind of easier way to do it. You no longer think the same way you once did. It's not looking necessarily at physical things, like a whole list of dues of the 613 rules and laws. It's more of the more spiritual, I love my neighbor with all my heart, and love the Lord God with all your heart and mind and soul. So it's more of an internal thing. So that's what I think repenting means. Near, there seems to be this concept, they don't say that, or it's at hand or it's near. So what does that mean? If the kingdom of heaven is near, well, I look at it as it's close, but how close is it? This is the question that theological angles and expression and much thought has been given. How close is it? Is it something in the future that's going to come about at the end of the age when time ends, when the earth is burnt up and the end of the age? But Jesus didn't say that. He said the kingdom is near now. So what does that mean? Well, again, a lot has to do with your theological perspective. If you're a person who believes in the rapture and that type of thing, you're going to say it's at the end of the age. There's going to be a whole life is going to continue until some point in time, and when the earth is going to be destroyed, and there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and everything is centered here on earth. The whole idea of that is all the action is here on earth. I'll get to that, but I don't think that is the case. I don't think all the action is here on earth. I think it's in another place where heaven is. Whether or not the earth needs to be destroyed, as a lot of religious thought needs to be is pointing toward, a lot of prophecy theology, theological point of view, is pointing to where the earth has to be destroyed, and governments and are working kind of in hand and doing some of these things. I think that's the wrong way of reading the Bible. I don't think that that's really what the kingdom of heaven is about. Destroying the earth and then reestablishing it once again. The Jewish people at the time of Jesus thought that the Messiah was going to come and they were going to be reestablished here on this earth, and the Jewish kingdom was going to be central in the world and kind of run the whole world. Out of Jerusalem, the world was going to be run. And everybody was going to concede to the Jewish people, and they were going to be rulers of the world. They were disillusioned very early. The early disciples thought that Jesus was going to return in their lifetime. That's how the Bible was written. And the apostles thought that Jesus was going to return in their lifetime. They misunderstood being very near also. I believe so, because otherwise, I mean, here we are 2,000 years later, and the kingdom of God isn't set up on this earth. Nothing really has changed. We're still going on and on and on and on. At least that's how I see it anyway. I don't see no great change in the way the world is run. We still have a lot of evil. We have governments that still function in the way they probably functioned during the Roman times, only we have different ones. So how do we look at the kingdom is very near? I will eventually get to an idea that I think I'm going to introduce, but 1 Peter talks about, 3:11 talks about, heaven and earth must pass away, but my word will never pass away. Let's see if I have it marked here somewhere. Where is it? I thought I had it marked. 2 Peter 3:10. Yes, I do. It says, the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. So the early disciples thought that the earth had to pass away in order for a new heaven and a new earth, which John the Revelator saw coming down out of heaven, which I think, rather than coming down out of heaven, John actually was moving up towards it. That's a misconception. I believe that John was moving towards the new heaven and earth rather than the heaven coming down. That's just a matter of perception of how you perceive something. He was in a visionary state to start off with. And Revelation 21:1. There, I got it. And he said, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city and the new Jerusalem and on, coming down out of heaven from God. So he saw it as coming down, but I think his perception was a little skewed. So the idea that the church has, is that this whole kingdom, this whole church is cube. It's portrayed as a cube because it's measured out. There's measurements of it. And the whole nine yards. Believe it or not, people have, they do it. It's supposed to be like a cube. And it's supposed to come down out of space and plop down in Jerusalem. And that's supposed to be the new earth and the new rule. And after all the evil people have gone away, and then the new heaven and new earth are supposed to come down, and then supposed to be right. Everything happens here on earth. That, to me, is an error of understanding, which I think is... So within the earth passing away And the new heaven and new earth, this is where we develop a lot of theology. And I think it's a logjam. I'll call it a theological logjam. It really doesn't go anywhere. I reviewed all of it, a lot of it, you know, and renewed my lack of interest in it by reading it once again. And and basically, you end up, once you run these ideas out, they just don't go anywhere. I'm sorry, they just don't. You end up in a cul-de-sac, or what I call a theological logjam today. You don't go anywhere. So what do I see and what do I think? Well, I have one more thing first. Also within the gray area, within the pale of theological thought, is the idea that creation is outside of God. In other words, it's an appendage to God. It's not necessarily within God. Then there's also the idea that creation is inside of God, but God doesn't necessarily, it's kind of like a sore spot, and it's not really attended to. So them are the two ideas in which are prevalent within the Christian faith. They're either an appendage or it's inside, but yet God's not playing necessarily in it. He kind of left it go. This is what I'm going to, what I believe, that where the kingdom of heaven and what Jesus was talking about. I have told you and suggested that we are more space than we are physical. So God can live within us in the spaces in which within us. I believe that's where the infinite God resides, within us and out into the world, into an infinity. That's how I understand the infinity. The finite is the creation, or the Big Bang, as science calls it. It's the Big Bang in which creation is created. That is finite. Science will tell you that they're saying that it's going to expand out to a certain point, and their theory is that that it eventually will stop, and it'll come back in, and it'll collapse on itself. That's one of the angles, that's one of the perspectives of what science is projecting to happen to the universe. Or it may expand on forever, they don't know, we don't really know. But the more prevalent idea is that eventually it's going to stall, and then it's going to come back and collapse on itself. So I see that the universe and all the beauty that's in here is the finite. And that's where we reside. We happen to be created in the physical realm of all these things. We're stuck on the idea of atoms that move around. We're stuck in this physical reality. So the kingdom of heaven is that close to us. When Jesus says it's that near, it's like here, there. It's this thin in between where it resides. So what happens when you have a near-death experience or an out-of-body experience? What Paul has, which is in the Bible, he left his body and went up to the third heaven. So when you leave, and there's accounts after an account, I mean, there's reams of books of people that have had these experiences. So when you're in a hospital room and you leave your body and you float out and you can look down and you can see your body, where are you? You simply moved from here to here. That's all you did. And then you float out, your soul and your spirit floats out, you look down and see your body, and you continue. So the kingdom of heaven has to be that close that we simply just go, whoosh, and we're there. It's that close. So that when we pass from life to death, it's just a matter of leaving this body, and you're there. The kingdom of heaven is all around us, everywhere we are. It's like, one of the things I wrote down was, it's the tree, but not the tree, but it is within the tree. So you look at a tree and you say, that's a tree. But where is the life that generated in that tree? It's within the tree. You don't see it. It's and it's within us, But yet, it's not the flesh and blood of our body, because the Bible says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. So we have to peel this off, and then we're there. So the idea that I would like to kind of share, something floated in my head, and I kind of grabbed onto it. Was the Big Bang the rebellion or the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Now, that's something you can kind of really, that's a really deep, really kind of hit me on the side of the head. It was like, is that really what the tree of knowledge of good and evil is? The duality that lives in the physicalness of creation. That's something I'm going to work on for a little while. Yes.
They say the Big Bang is recognized by scientists too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. They can look back through, when they look back through time, I don't know how this all works, but they can actually see the beginnings of the Big Bang. I tried to contemplate that in my head, how you can look back through a telescope, back through time, and see that happening. I'm not quite sure how that concept works, but they say they can. But they can't see past the Big Bang. You know, the actual... So, the idea... So when you go to take a chainsaw to it, it's going to recoil?
Apparently it feels pain.
Well, I'm not laughing at your idea, because it has life in it. I mean, where does this life energy, this life force come from?
This adds on to your
yes.
Life within.
Life within.
You know, we're just finding out now what that might be like.
Yes, you're absolutely right. A lot of the stuff we haven't even scratched the surface of. And but yet we have a lot of stuff that we need, theological stuff we need to throw out before we can even contemplate something else. And the idea that the kingdom of heaven is going to reside here on earth and only this earth, and this is the only place that life exists, I think we have to get past that. Now, do I think there's life in other planets? Hey, what do I know? Surely there must be. I don't know. So if you look at it as the rebellion, the Big Bang as a rebellion, then this physical reality could go on for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. So the kingdom of heaven is not the physical reality, the planets, the stars. It's what is called dark energy, dark matter. And I don't like to use the word dark because I think it's really where the light is. But I don't have any other term to use it because that's what science calls it. It's all the spaces in between the planets that, and they're thinking now that maybe that's what keeps the planets and everything in orbit. There's an idea that is what's actually keeping everything in sync. So we are just barely beginning to understand some of these things. But in order to reach out and to even begin to contemplate some of the things I just said about the Big Bang being the tree of knowledge of good and evil, we have to get rid of some of the things that hold us and tether us back. We have to join together as a church, churches, and theological ideas and bring them together and start really looking at them again. We haven't done that in how many years? Hundreds of years. For the longest time, the church has a history of new ideas coming, you know, and all of a sudden we got stalled. We're stuck because we've run all these, what was that?
My favorite bad term, the cannon is closed. What are you going to do?
The cannon is closed. Yeah, we whammed the lid shut and we said, that's it. You know, we're not going to have no more. But we've run all these ideas, Shane.
There's a theory that every 500 years the church goes through a huge, massive upheaval and changes. And this is the 500th year. This is the time that we're supposed to be changing.
Well,
so I'm hoping that your idea works.
I can understand infinity much better and finite much better with the idea that I said. You know, the universe is the finite and everything else is the infinite. I mean, that's a pretty easy way of understanding it. But you have to think beyond that everything is just the earth. And so we have to look at it, it's a bigger picture. It's a huge picture. And our ego says to us that we're the greatest, and it holds us back. And I know things go cyclical, but I didn't know this was the 500th year. About time for us to change again. But you know what I'm talking about. We're stalled, and we've been stalled, and we just can't seem to get off the spot. So what do I see the good news as? I see the good news as somebody caring, God, we call it Jesus Christ, who came down here and visited us and said to us, I care about humanity, and I'm going to create this way of saving humanity, all of humanity. And I'm going to show you the way that life does not end when you die. I think that the resurrection is the best news that you can ever think of. Now there's life. To me, Jesus, along with a lot of other things he did, Jesus showed us that life exists beyond the grave. Now, whether or not you believe in the resurrection or how you understand the resurrection, I believe it as Jesus confirmed, look, there is life beyond the grave. You people need to wake up. You need to start believing, start loving one another. You need to start changing things. You need to get yourselves together, the world. But yet, what do? We keep doing the same old stuff we've been doing. On and on and on and on. That is the good news to me. I'm not looking for no special privileges when I pass from this life to the next. I just want to make it. When I make it and I say, and I see my loved ones, I think that's wonderful. And I also believe, yes, there is a divide between that realm and this realm. But I do believe that sometimes people do get a glimpse back and see. Or we get a glimpse forward and see. That does happen. The Bible is full of people who had an experience that looked ahead and seen things in the heavenly realm. Paul said that he saw things that he can't even utter. You can't even speak of. And anybody, I think, who had a near-death experience or an out-of-body experience will say that also, that there are things that you just can't explain. And I think that we should be filled with joy and hope with that good news. Yes, life is tough. I'll grant you 100% life is tough. I mean, we have diseases, we have wars, just a little struggle that each one of us have within ourselves. That we have to wrestle with continually, daily, all the time. Life is tough. But yet there is hope. And there is a better life coming, for sure, I think. And I think it's for everyone, myself. But that's another theological twist. Luke 17, 20, 21. Just two more things, verses that I want to bring up. I'm going to close on that. Luke 17, 20, 21 said, the kingdom is within. Luke, it says, where is Luke in the Bible? It talks about the kingdom of God. It says, once on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed. In other words, you can't see it. Nor will people say, here it is or there it is, but the kingdom of God is within your midst, which is all around us, within us, around us. This particular translation doesn't say within, but on the notes it says, or within you. So, here again, I have a late edition of the NIV. I was always told that the kingdom is within you. And I think the kingdom is within us, like I said, within the spaces, within our midst. And another closing one that I've always liked in John 14, 2 and 3, when it talks about preparing a place for us, it says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms, and if it were not so, I would have told you. If it were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. So it's not about a place here on this earth. It's about a place in which Jesus is going to come back and take us to where he is. Yes, the love of Christ is all around us, but the place in which Jesus is talking about, he's not saying, I'm going to come back here, I'm going to be with you on this earth. It's a place prepared elsewhere for us to live forever. Anybody have any thoughts they want to share? Dan.
If everybody's went to heaven, well, he probably has to be moving a few people around to make room for the ones that are going up, right?
Oh, the ones that are getting better and climbing up?
It's so crowded up there, they have to move people here and there.
Well, you're talking about an infinity of space.
Yeah.
I think by many rooms, I think that there are many different places for many different people. We all have different abilities, different characteristics. So I think just different rooms. I mean, we don't all fit in the same room. To answer your question, it has to be an awful big room to get us all in there, wouldn't it? But see, when you start talking about terms such as heavenly terms, it gets to be really kind of complicated and kind of big. Our minds sometimes can't understand it. But I think that many rooms, a mansion is larger than just a house or a cottage. It's a beautiful place with many, many things. So you have angels, you have all this kind of stuff in there. Anybody else want to make a comment? I'm going to say amen then.